Coming up on show 711, the Tesla Model 3 is officially announced the UK's car of the year. Want some details? Stick around, I'll tell you more. Plus, Citroën's tiny EV that'll cost you $22 a month. Nissan's Leaf E-Plus gets a cheaper version. The all-new Golf GTE and the A-Class plug-in hybrid. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. I'm still playing catch-up at the moment. I do track the news every day. Don't always get a chance to pop into the studio to record. Life has changed somewhat lately, in addition to the family. So I do have to play catch-up occasionally, but thank you for bearing with me, getting back into the routine slowly but surely. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Thank you to MyEV.com for being a big supporter of this show. My, it's almost a couple of years now. They've coming up to that. I suppose it will be early summertime. Thank you so much to the team at MyEV who are very, very busy making it better every single day. Every time I check it, it looks it's changed and got better. Buying and selling and learning about EVs in the USA. Check out MyEV.com. More and more people are every single day. New Patreon executive producers, Michael and Luke Turrell. I think that's how it's double R double L. Turrell. So I think it would, rather than Turrell, I think Michael and Luke Turrell is how I would say it. Look, if I got it wrong, though, let me know. I want to get it right. And also, a new Patreon producer, Gilberto Rosado. Would it be Gilbert? Gilberto Rosado. Again, hopefully I got your name right. Let me know. Tesla Model 3 is the UK's car of the year. Tesla Model 3 has been crowned the UK car of the year for 2020, making it back-to-back wins for electric vehicles at the awards following Jaguar I-Pace's victory this time last year, which I was telling you about on the podcast. After emerging triumphant as the best executive car when the category winners were announced in early February, the Tesla Model 3 battled it out against eight other new cars for the overall title. Three of the cars were EVs. The Kia e-Niro was in there as well, the closest ever winning margin in the history of Car of the Year. The 29-strong panel of judges who deliberated for the UK Car of the Year was understandably quick to commend the efforts of the Tesla. Tom Ford, who is from Top Gear, said, and I quote, "Clean, crisp and technological inside, the Model 3 drives and performs like we think EVs should, makes others in the sector feel stuffy and awkward," end quote. From Auto Trader, and you might have remembered him from being on TV back in the day, Rory Reed said, and I quote, "The most important car in a generation because it sets the standard for what EVs should be. Affordable, aspirational, fun and very cool," end quote. Oh, Rory, look, some of that TV money kicking in there, is it? I wouldn't say the Model 3 is affordable. I wouldn't say most people are on average salaries rushing out to buy one with cash they found down the side of the sofa. But I know what you mean. I know what you mean. The monthly payments, if you do your payment thing, still a lot of money for a Model 3, but you are saving fuel and running costs, and all those arguments do tend to kick in. Instead of being restricted to their own category in the awards, EVs compete directly against fossil gobblers in this particular award ceremony. Yeah, you know what I really hate? I really hate when you have a car awards magazine article, a website, or, you know, big swanky thing. And then they have, now, the electric car category and mid-size electric car. Just put electric cars with fossil gobblers, because they will beat them every time. Maybe, it's a cynical thing to say. Maybe there's pressure on those certain award ceremonies or magazines that do that from those that pay the bills. In other words, the advertisers. In other words, legacy automakers. Because if you put electric cars up against them, they're going to beat them every time. You know that, and I know that. But in these awards, they are all lumped together. Three of the nine finalists were electric models, and the panel gave their approval to the latest developments in technology, with 21 of the 29 votes going to pure battery electric vehicles. Kia e-Niro pushed the Model 3 all the way to the very end. What was in third place, though? The Porsche Taycan. You know what they say on the homepage of MyEV.com? Electric vehicles are better. They've got a point, haven't they? Let's talk about Citroën and a tiny two-seat EV that'll cost you next to nothing every month to run. After World War II, the French automaker Citroën launched cheap and simple cars to get its home country moving again. Well, they're now applying the same philosophy to electric cars with the launch of a small two-seat EV that drivers can rent for the equivalent of $22 a month, says Digital Trends. The AMI, A-M-I, AMI has a top speed of 28 miles an hour. It has a battery of 5.5 kilowatt hours, and that provides 43 miles of range. A full recharge takes 3 hours, and that's not DC fast charging. That's plugging into your plug socket at home. 3 hours and you're done. Technically, it's not even a car. This, my friends, is a quadricycle. It means it can be driven without a car license by people as young as 14 in places like France, I think, and 16 in some other countries as well. According to Citroën, it's going to offer the AMI on a long-term rental. Initial payment of €2,600 and then €20 a month to keep the vehicle. What do you think? I've seen people online whinging about this kind of thing. These are the kind of people who spent years going, oh, the only EVs on the, I can buy are £100,000 Teslas. Wake me up when they make a cheap, small city car. So Citroën make a cheap, small car that'll do 40 miles. It'll get you to college and back, or university and back, or take the kids to school, whatever. It's a great second or even third car. These are the same people on Twitter going, oh, 5.5 kilowatt hour battery, that's rubbish. Honestly, some people. I tend to mute those, even block them these days on Twitter, because I just don't want to see it. I want to see them in my feed. I just want to be hanging around the really positive, wonderful community that is the EV community that you and I are part of. And let's stay with small cars. The original bubble car, well, bubble car inspired, careful how I say this, the Micro Mobility Systems, MMS, the Micro Lino. Electric vehicle never actually made it to production, but the car is already getting a second generation. Set to debut at the Geneva Motor Show. That won't be happening now, but I'm sure we'll see it. I'm sure all of the cars that were due to be debuted at Geneva now have alternative plans being worked up. Microlino will feature a new design, more space, better driving, safer structure, 17,000 reservations went in for the original Microlino. And so the new version of it, the 2.00, says Auto Blog, will have a stronger, more efficient e-motor. No specs provided for the 2.0 version. Originally, it was going to have an 8 kilowatt hour battery, 77 miles of range for the small one, and then doubling that for a bigger version with a 14.4 kilowatt hour battery. Check out Auto Blog in the show notes to find out more. Here's a car that just got cheaper, the new Nissan Leaf E+, the N-Tech spec, at least in this country anyway. I'm not sure about where you are listening around the world, but 1,000 examples of them are going to be made. Of course, the Nissan Leaf is made in the UK at the Sunderland factory. The price is £32,795. That is with the government grant already taken off. And that's a saving of over £3,000 on the Techna spec, says the Car Expert website. It comes as a compromise on equipment. Nothing about the EV bit changes. 62 kilowatt hour battery, 240 miles of range claimed. Standard Leaf on 40 kilowatt hours does about 170 claimed-ish. If you've got either of these cars, by the way, I'd love to know from you how you're getting on through winter of real-world driving of the new Leaf. Great car. I've always been a big fan of the Leaf, and actually a big fan of a big car. Most people don't realise till they actually get in and play and open up the boot. The Leaf is a really big car. It's a great family car. Yes, it hasn't got that SUV crossover styling. It's not a tall car, but you know, there's loads of room inside it. Very practical. With a 62 kilowatt hour battery and 200 plus miles of range, it's a great little car. And now getting cheaper? Yeah, you got a few less goodies. But you do still have LED fog lights, ProPilot features, electric parking brake, fancy splitters and things to make it look nice on the outside. And it could be that knocking £3,000 off the top spec helps you get over the line and buy one. Of course, I know, before you tell me, I know, no thermal management on the battery, and in the very hot countries, the Leaf can suffer. We have a couple of hot months, we have a couple of cold months as well, but mostly, we're pretty temperate here, climate-wise, and the Leaf shouldn't really rapid gate too much. I know it does, but really, you know, there's a fix for that, and it only if you're really caning the car can it start to rapid gate. Cold gate's a thing as well, where if it's really super nippy, it doesn't take the maximum charge speed. But you know what, for most people, most of the time, all these little nitpicky things around the battery isn't, shouldn't be, for most, I know it is for some, shouldn't be a deal breaker. Let's talk about the new Volkswagen Golf. Yesterday, talking about its cousin car, the Skoda. Let's talk about the Golf GTE has been announced by VW with exactly the same innards as the SEAT version, the 1.4-litre turbocharged petrol engine, the hybrid motor. Compared to the predecessor of the GTE, it now does 60 kilometres of all-electric range, done that through better aerodynamics and managing just new technology, just better energy density of the battery by 50%, 13 kilowatt hours now on this plug-in hybrid, and it'll do 130 kilometers an hour in all-electric mode as well. When the battery is full, or at least sufficiently charged, I should say, it will start every time, regardless of what you do. It'll always opt to start in electric mode only, E-mode, as it's called in the GTE, and it'll go to hybrid mode if the battery goes below a certain level or you go faster than 130. Okay, let's talk about Mercedes-Benz starting production of a plug-in hybrid version of the A-Class at their compact car plant in Rastatt. However, Mercedes doesn't specify when the vehicles are going to be delivered to customers, says Electrive. The plug-in hybrid versions are going to be assembled on the same line as the fossil gobblers, and that allows Mercedes, they say, to better utilise production capacity. Since Mercedes installs a larger battery of 15.6 kilowatt hours, that's pretty big actually for a plug-in hybrid. Most are around 12 to 14. So Mercedes-Benz in the A-Class, 15.5 kilowatt hours. They put it under the rear seats. Now, that normally, if you can imagine, is where the exhaust would run down the middle of the car, underneath the car, obviously, but the exhaust would then take up some space. So, what Mercedes have done with the A-Class is the exhaust, now that they've located it centrally under the car floor, the rear silencer is now packed into the centre tunnel, and the exhaust doesn't exit at the back of the car. It's centrally underneath the car. The fuel tank has been moved between the axles, and according to Daimler, it means that the A-Class, the 250 plug-in, really has about the same boot volume as the fossil gobbling one. And get this is amazing, and it's rare, it's a plug-in hybrid with DC fast charging. Oh, I love you, Mercedes-Benz. That's just so good. It's got a 7-kilowatt onboard AC charger, which is good, but also it's got DC fast charging. Ah, oh, amazing. It's not the fault of some, it is the fault of some, it's not the fault of many plug-in hybrid owners who want to charge their car on a long motorway journey because they think, oh, I've got an electric car, I'll charge it. And there's still so few chargers here that they plug in on the motorway. It basically trickle charges, and full electric drivers can't charge. That wouldn't be an issue if we had better infrastructure. It wouldn't be an issue if the dealers educated people. And there's probably a handful of people who think, I know that, and I'm still going to plug in because I'm going to get some charge on rapid charges. But, oh, that is one of my bugbears. However, not with the new Mercedes-Benz A-Class. It's a, I think, about 24 kilowatt charge speed, which is, you know, it's quicker than my Zoe. On a DC fast charger, that's great. Because on a 14 kilowatt hour usable of the battery, 25 minutes, boom, you're done, full battery. Again, doesn't help massively on motorway journeys, but it does around town. Moving on, Electrify America is investing $2 million in a solar-powered EV charging station in rural California. Not just one, but many of these, they're not tied to the grid. It's going to be expanding access to EV charging in rural areas, particularly, including the Central, the Coachella, the Imperial Valleys as well. Electrify America is sourcing the chargers from Envision. They're a San Diego-based tech company. The EV Arc. Have you seen these? I've talked about them a few times, actually. The EV Arc is a transportable and solar-powered infrastructure product. It's like an awning, like a carport. It's a standalone system, and it comes with a 4.3 kilowatt solar array, 32 kilowatt hours of onboard storage, and two Electrify America level 2 chargers, which will go up to 6 kilowatts speed on the whole system as well. Combination allows for two customers to charge their vehicles at the same time using 100% renewable solar-powered energy, and they are fully standalone. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Panasonic are next in the news, and they will exit solar cell production at Tesla's Gigafactory. Now, we're talking about Gigafactory New York here. Panic not about their partnership with the batteries for the cars. The latest sign of a partnership where Panasonic's status in Tesla's world is diminished a bit. It used to be Tesla couldn't do anything without Panasonic, and you know, in fairness, Panasonic had the exclusive rights to make the batteries and the cells that went inside Teslas. According to Autoblog, Tesla has informed New York that Panasonic's withdrawal has no bearing on Tesla's current operations. The state said in a statement, the Panasonic details coming out on Wednesday in a statement, so they will cease production in May and exit the factory in September. Panasonic will continue, of course, with the Gigafactory in Nevada. And they just had their first quarterly profit after years of production problems and delays. In the solar business, though, low demand from Tesla meant that Panasonic were making the cells but shipping them elsewhere to overseas customers even as well, when they should have been using them for Tesla on their solar roofs. So, people saying this is a sign of a strained relationship with Panasonic. I'm not sure it is. Even on the recent earnings call, Elon said wonderful things about Panasonic. It does, however, show that Tesla and Panasonic are no longer married to each other. Tesla working with other cell makers like CATL and Panasonic, of course, but just having to source cells from other battery companies rather than being reliant on just Panasonic. And of course, Panasonic doing some deals recently in the news with Toyota, for instance, for their hybrids and the batteries required for future Toyotas as well. So everyone's doing their own thing. Let's talk about question of the week. How to persuade your friends and family and colleagues to buy an EV. Fascinating answers coming in this week. You could email me about anything, anytime. Hello at evnewsdaily.com is my email address. Or leave a comment on the YouTube show. There are 235 patrons of the podcast, and your generosity means that I get to make this every single day. Got some new top-level patron premium partners to announce in the coming days. For now, though, it's Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, and Clean Tech Talent being sourced at brightsmithgroup.com. Thank you very much for listening today. A little review on Apple Podcasts always goes down well. Have a wonderful day. Catch you soon. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.